Good evening. If there are any visitors with us here this evening, we would like you to know that we are certainly grateful that you've come our way, and our hopes and prayers are that you will return and worship with us again at your earliest convenience. If you'd like to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Philemon, we're going to use that as the basis of the lesson tonight. I'm so thankful for the way we have begun this service. It's always thankful for me to raise our voices to praise God with my brothers and sisters in Christ in song. When you're an individual that truly has a hard time carrying a tune in a wheelbarrow, it's nice to have your brothers and sisters carry you through that part of the worship service. I'm always appreciative of the privilege of prayer and the opportunity to approach God's throne of grace. And I'm certainly thankful for the young man that read scripture here tonight. And hopefully now, as we direct our minds towards a portion of God's word, we can continue in that pattern of worship that he has given us through his inspired word. The book of Philemon is a short book nestled right there in front of Hebrews. Just a short 25 verses. And I'm sure we will not scratch the surface of the good that is contained within it here tonight. There have been many that have called this a masterpiece of Christian courtesy and intercession. Others consider it to be a model of Christian persuasion and how our Christian faith can and should influence the way we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as far as that goes, it probably should influence the way we treat all of mankind. The inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, with an unmeasurable amount of meekness and compassion, while dealing with a sensitive subject at this time and at this writing, that subject being slavery. Before we really get into the text, we should realize just how extensive slavery was at this time. In the Roman Empire, in the Roman part of the world, it's been documented that many of the big cities in that Roman Empire, the population would actually be comprised one-third slaves. It's been documented other places that in Athens alone, there were more than 400,000 slaves. So Paul, although he was addressing the church at Colossae, we have to understand that this problem probably was a lot more extensive than just between Philemon and Onesimus. It probably was very widespread at times. There were many reasons that one might enter into slavery. One might be defeated in war and then become a slave of those who defeated them. There were those who may have been captured and sold into slavery. Others would sell themselves into slavery to settle their debt, and others may be sentenced by court to settle their debt by serving as a slave. And of course, there are those who were born to a slave mother. We are not given a reason for Onesimus' entrance into slavery. So let's look at who this letter is actually written to. First, we have Philemon, who we know is a slave owner and then became a Christian. He seems to have been directly or indirectly influenced by the Apostle Paul's teaching. If you reference verses 17 and 19, it would probably lead you in that direction. Verse 1 refers to Philemon as a fellow laborer, so he must have been a member of the church, or Paul would not have considered him a fellow laborer. Surely a fellow laborer in Christ. And being a slave owner and having a house large enough to have the church meet in, he must have possessed some portion of wealth. We don't know how much. Verse 2 points out the fact that the church did meet in his house. And the second person that we find that it is addressed to is Apphia. Really, the only fact we have about Apphia is that she is a woman. Many believe that it is Philemon's wife. Some believe it may be his sister. But we really don't know. But some of the different Bibles do list her as being their sister, their beloved sister. So we would have to believe that she is a Christian. It's also addressed to Archippus, possibly the brother of Philemon. Paul refers to him as being a fellow soldier, no doubt in the faith. We find in Paul also encouraging him in Colossians chapter 4, 17, where he told him to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So Archippus was surely also a Christian and a member of the church where he met there at Philemon's house. But let's look at the fourth group of people, actually, that were mentioned as being recipients of this letter. In verse 2, it talks about and the church in thy house. What seems to maybe have been a personal issue between Philemon and Onesimus was about to become a very public matter. And sometimes we need to understand that although our faith should and can be a very personal relationship with God, it sometimes becomes very public too. Many times when these letters were delivered, they were read before the whole congregation. And just keep in mind, here's Philemon, the church meeting at his house, and a runaway slave with his companion delivering a letter to that church on Sunday morning. I would suspect it was very quiet. We should be able to find several lessons throughout this book. And like I said before, we're not going to scratch the surface on it here tonight. First, we should be able to find the importance of the Christian family. We will surely find references to free will. We all have been blessed with. And we will take a look at the forgiveness of debt and intercession. In verse 3, the writer tells us, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace being the free gift of God that brings salvation to the faithful. You can reference Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 for that also. And peace, is a description of the new relationship Christians have with God through Christ, Romans 5, 1. Verse 4, as was read for us, I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Although Paul was separated from these saints at the time of this writing, physically, spiritually, he was always connected, and he wanted them to know that. He continually kept them in their prayers. So let's look at the references to the Christian family in this in this book. In verse 1, Paul refers to Philemon as a fellow laborer, no doubt in Christ. In verse 2, he refers to Archippus as a fellow soldier, no doubt in Christ. And as we referred to earlier, Colossians 4:17 backs that up. Alphaia is referred to by some translators as our sister, and no doubt that would be in Christ. Verse 3, God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 refers to all the saints. Verse 7 refers to Philemon as a brother. He refers to Onesimus as son, no doubt in the faith. This is the first mention of Onesimus in this letter. So this letter was basically written to Philemon to help Onesimus, but his name is never mentioned till the 10th verse out of the 25 in this book. I think that points out a little bit of the meekness in which Paul used to address the situation at hand here. Verse 16, Paul requests Philemon to receive Onesimus as a beloved, as a brother beloved, not just as a servant. Verse 17, we have the reference to a partner, and no doubt that is in the faith. In verse 20, Paul refers to Philemon as a brother once again. In 23, fellow prisoners in Christ. And in verse 24, he talks about fellow laborers again. So many verses in here reflect upon the Christian family. If we look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, we can find a lesson given on the family by Christ himself. Starting in verse 46, it is recorded for us that while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, and he said unto them that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brother? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. As much as we love our earthly family, Christ wanted us to realize there is a relationship deeper, more precious, and more abiding than any earthly tie, that being the relationship shared by those living in Christ. We should all pray that our earthly family is or will one day become part of our spiritual family. Let's look a little bit at the free will that we might find in this letter. First of all, in verse 1, Paul began by saying, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So many of Paul's letters were started out at reflecting the fact that he was an apostle. He took a different avenue here. He used the term prisoner of Jesus Christ. And there may be many thoughts on this, but I certainly believe it was probably Paul's intention to not want to come off as being a strong authoritarian individual. He wanted the free will of those involved in this situation to act on that free will. He wanted them to do the right thing because that's what they wanted to do. It seems to continue this thought as we look at verses 12 through 14. whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul would have liked to have kept Philemon right there in Rome with him to help him as he was in prison, to help him spread the gospel in that area. But he knew if he did that without the approval of Philemon, number one, he knew it would have been against the law. Onesimus, as much compassion as we may have for him in the situation he was in, he broke the law. He ran away. He did wrong. And he did not want to take the opportunity for Onesimus to show true repentance. He also did not want to rob Philemon the chance to do the right thing on his own free will. So Paul sent him back with a letter. And no doubt had the confidence in God's providence that Philemon was going to try to do the right thing. Paul's confidence in the providence of God extends to all his believing children, and that it would help all involved. Jesus gave us a great example of free will in the book of John, chapter 10, starting in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Christ willingly went to the cross to die for each one of our sins. He gave us a perfect example of free will here, and it probably extends beyond what any of us will ever have to endure, no doubt. We must recognize what is wrong in our lives and out of free will turn away from it. God expects us to make choices, and we're going to make them, whether they be bad or good. So let us, as God's believing children, use his word to guide us while we make them. In the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 21 through 25, it shows us an example of decision-making. It gives us some really good reference to what we should choose and not choose. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, or naughtiness, and receive which with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Many read this and may not understand where the free will comes, but they wouldn't have had to turn away if they weren't doing something wrong. These people needed guidance, and they were given it here by the half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Change needed to happen in their life, and they were instructed how to do that. We might find the forgiveness of debt and intercession through this short lesson. Paul in verse 17 refers to the partnership in Christ he shares with Philemon, and he points out in verse 17, Onesimus is now also a brother in the faith, and requests that Philemon receive him as such. It seems as though, as you read that, and let's look at that a little bit closer, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And if you go up to verse 12 and read that whole section, it seems as though Paul's telling Philemon, if you reject Onesimus as a brother in Christ, you're rejecting me. He wants him to understand that although Onesimus did wrong, he has repented. He has become a brother in Christ. He is now part of Philemon's spiritual family. And he has to understand that to reject one brother in Christ would be to reject them all. In verses 20 and 21, Paul goes on to express his confidence that he has in Philemon with the hope that he will do the right thing. And undoubtedly, Paul truly believes that God has a hand in what's going on here. He has a lot of confidence that Onesimus is going to get the outcome that he wants to have. In verses 20 and 21, the writer put it this way, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that you will also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall give unto you. Paul expresses he has deep confidence in what Philemon's going to do. He has confidence that the right thing is going to happen, and undoubtedly that confidence started with believing that God would provide what was needed for Onesimus. When we look at intercession, we also might want to look at verses 18 and 19. We actually can't leave those out. Because Paul says, if he hath wronged thee or owe thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. The debt that Onesimus owes, we really don't know the extent of it. And as you read different commentaries on this, there's a lot of ideas on it. We got to understand that the distance between where Philemon's house is and Rome is over 1,000 miles. And some have a hard time understanding how a runaway slave might be able to afford to make such a trip. I don't really think I have the answer for that, but I will say this. I think the debt might be greater than we understand. But the debt that Philemon owes Paul has to refer back to the fact that he was influenced by the teaching of Paul, either directly or indirectly. And for that teaching, he became a Christian. And what greater debt could any of us have? Paul offers to pay that debt. And it's undoubtedly a debt that Onesimus would have never been able to repay. And he knew that. In Romans 8:34, it informs us that Christ is not only at the right hand of God, he also maketh intercession for us. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has paid a debt that we are never going to be able to repay. Let us consider that price that was paid on our behalf. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, as we read this verse 44, I want you to picture this, if you can, in your own mind. And this is Christ praying. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And as his sweat was at, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That agony, my friends, is Christ looking forward to what lied ahead. He knew what was coming his way. He knew he was going to be beaten beyond what any of us could ever imagine. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to die a death as cruel as any of us will ever imagine. He understood that he was going to become sin, something that he hated. That he may take the sin out of our lives if we're obedient. He may provide a way for us to find forgiveness of that sin. But he was determined to continue carrying out God's will to bring forth a plan of salvation to mankind. Christ's spirit being one with the Father, he left his heavenly abode where he undoubtedly shared in the glory of God that he might be the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. God commanded his love towards us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. As we read 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold for your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without a blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As we read that portion of Scripture, we have to come to the conclusion that Christ paid the total cost for our sins. If you're with us tonight and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, if you have heard the word of God, Romans 10:17, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Mark 16:16, if you are willing to repent of your sins, Acts 17:30, if you are willing to confess Christ is the Son of God before this audience, Acts 8:36-37, you have the desire to be baptized into Christ this very night. The opportunity is yours. I'd ask all of you to examine your hearts. Are you ready this moment to meet God? If there's anything we can do here tonight to help you, our hope and prayers are that you will come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.